Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Today's stories, the opportunity for an inventor to tackle the one chore that a machine can't seem to do, and what it takes to create and launch your own marketing agency. Those stories after this.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Well, here's a household chore that has people of all ages crying for an entrepreneur or inventor to handle: folding laundry. Folding laundry frustrates most everyone. It's tedious and time-consuming, and no, there's not an app for that. Folding laundry stubbornly remains a job done by hand, item by item. Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron says it's a holy grail for inventors who've seen billion-dollar industries created from products that solve chores such as washing and drying clothes, scrubbing dishes, and cleaning floors. Ellen set this up.
Nothing full-on is on the market yet, but advances in robotics might mean advances for folding laundry. There are new machines in development. I wrote about two in my story that may come onto market next year. The problem is that industrial folding machines have been around for a long time, but they're giant and they're really expensive. They're not practical for consumers' homes. Mm. But robotics mean that more compact options can work, and they can also have the flexibility to fold several different garments in one load. Commercial ones typically are set to fold like a uniform size of towels and then and so on. And so help might be soon on the way.
In the meantime, there are guys like me who like to fold and are awfully good at it. I got my PhD in laundry folding.
Actually, your household is lucky.
It started because my wife baited me one time by saying, well, you're so good at it. You really can snap out the wrinkles and everything. And, of course, that was a boost to my ego. So I'm now the laundry folding guy.
Oh, well, that's terrific. And, you know, you fit right in with this enthusiasm that's happening around the world for folding. People who love Marie Kondo's organizational method are trying to find love for folding, and it seems like you already have.
That's funny.
But she advises that anything that is soft and pliable should be folded rather than hung up. And so that's part of the reason why I wanted to do this story right now, is because more people in this world are talking about folding and how to do it.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron. Her piece is called "The Most Frustrating Chore." How about, there is a dryer that uses some sort of Wi-Fi technology? What is that for?
Yes. GE has some models of dryers where if you can't get to the load immediately when it finishes, you can remotely extend the tumbling time so that wrinkles won't set in while they're in the dryer. One other thing that GE and Samsung told me about is the way that they're paying special attention to the tops of their machines, because they know consumers like to fold on top. And so they're making them flatter, at a better height. That's another whole area that they're looking at.
Thanks, Ellen. Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron. Coming up next, launching your own marketing firm. Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like being a top 10 pro-business state, or 2,000, the number of unnecessary regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years, and 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climate, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more, Michigan. Go to michiganbusiness.org to learn more. Got PR and creative skills? What's it take to launch your own branding company? One small business... Do you have PR and creative skills? What's it take to launch your own branding company? Our small business conversation today is with Sam Zeises, founder and CEO of Learned Media, a marketing agency based in New York City. Sam, explain what Learned Media does.
Learned Media is a full-service creative marketing agency. We say that we're quote, schooling brands to some extent. We've been around since 2012, and we're actually based in Facebook's old headquarters on 43rd and Madison in New York City. So we've got some good karma with our space here. We're about 15 people. We provide our clients with full-service offerings that really span from strategy, where we help clients really determine three things: the objectives they're trying to solve, the target customers or audiences they're trying to engage, and then the messages that they're trying to deliver. Once we develop the strategy, we move towards creating the most relevant, effective, and high-quality content. So we actually have what we call our table of creative elements, which is essentially sort of a periodic table, but instead of hydrogen and boron, it's websites and blogs and pins and posts and tweets. And the idea is you have to figure out what the right solution is for your brand and your marketing mix. You know, there's more ways than ever today to spend money on marketing and media. And just as important on kind of what the message is what medium and type of content that you're using to tell that story to those consumers and audiences. So we take a lot of pride in figuring out the right quote-unquote solution. And then lastly, the key is about distributing that content. So making sure that that content gets in front of the right audience at the right time in the right place. And so that's really where our distribution services round out the offering, with things like Facebook marketing, Google ads, and even buying potentially, you know, podcast space on a show like yours for a small business audience.
Got it.
So hopefully that wasn't too long-winded of a reply, but that gives you a good sense of our full scope of offering.
Okay. So you're not the only creative marketing agency, obviously. What do you say makes you different?
That's an awesome question, and I actually talk with my partner, who's actually my twin brother, and I'll tell you a little bit about sort of how we started working together in a bit later, but we actually talk about that all the time. The business has been around since 2011, technically speaking, although for the first year of the life of our business, we weren't a marketing agency, and I'll talk about that in a moment as well, but the differentiator for us is really about trust. And people, right? There are so many people and places that brands can go to get a website built or shoot a video or come up with a great photo for an Instagram campaign. But I think what makes us unique is the fact that what we're trying to do here is we're trying to build a long-term business. You know, the service business is not one where you can get rich quick in a lot of ways. And so I think our big differentiator is the fact that we're not going anywhere. Our clients know that when they come to us today or in 6 months, that we're going to be there to answer their call, to update their website, to help them, you know, redo their strategy if the marketplace has changed. And I think, you know, it's usually not the best answer to tell a prospective client what makes you unique. Not much. But the truth is, you know, so many agencies spend so much time trying to come up with a unique, fancy, and innovative positioning. And I think at the end of the day, if you can create a certainly you have to have the skills required to be able to execute all the things that you say you do. But after that, it comes down to trust. And you know, trust is about setting expectations and then achieving them and making sure that your clients know what they can expect in a working relationship with you. So hopefully that wasn't too negative in some sense, but I think at the end of the day, you know, it's the people that you work with that ends up making the relationship between a company and an agency successful.
All right, so you bring up something unique in that your partner is your twin brother. There certainly must be times when you don't see eye to eye, or an employee says, I'm not going to Sam with that, I'm going to his brother. Like, do you have that happen, or how do you guys manage your relationship?
That's a great question. First of all, there is no human relationship on the planet closer than that of twins. So it actually works to our favor. So kind of a cool story. My brother and I first started working together when we were in grade school. We actually launched a DJ business in New York City. We grew up here in Manhattan, where we're located today. And we actually got hired to DJ bar and bat mitzvahs, anniversaries, school dances, birthday parties, and things like that. And funny enough, we actually, while we ended up being somewhat successful, I think we did something like 30 or 40 parties, we fought a lot, and we disagreed a lot. And It really goes back to sort of the idea that we're both good at different things. And for the last 10 years, I have spent my entire career in digital marketing, and I can tell you a little bit about sort of the story of how we got there in a minute. And Ben, my twin brother, actually kind of shifted focus more towards real estate, believe it or not, and sort of deal making. And it was only 2 years ago, in July of 2014, that our paths sort of merged, and Ben ended up joining our firm to really lead the back-end operations and really oversee the business aspect of what we were building here. And along with his joining the company, he actually brought a unique real estate expertise, which led us to build out a real estate marketing practice, which today makes up about 25% of our client base, where we help real estate clients who traditionally don't necessarily think the most innovatively in terms of design and marketing. But we've actually been able to push the envelope with some of our real estate clients because of his subject matter expertise in the space. And so to answer your question, sort of a long-winded reply, it's amazing working with him. We bring completely unique skill sets to the table. I can honestly say that there's very little where we don't agree on. And I think what makes our relationship in business work so well is that we trust each other's core expertise. And anything relative to finance, legal, admin, operations, I sort of yield to Ben, my brother's sort of final word. And anything relative to strategy, creative, content, and client service, he yields to my final word.
How about that? We're speaking with Sam Zeises. He's founder and CEO of Learned Media. We're talking about his company and what they do and kind of the operations of a small business. You really have had the entrepreneurial gene for some time then. You kind of mentioned your grade school roots. Did you ever work for somebody else and then fully decided, this is crazy, I'm doing it on my own? Or have you always been on your own?
No, that's a fair point. There's no question that my brother and I sort of always love to kind of be in charge to some extent. But I will say, so I started my career at a unique time, right? 2007 was the year that I graduated school. I went to Northeastern in Boston, super proud of my alumni, studied media and communications. And before I graduated, I had a bunch of internships. So I worked for other companies, namely NBC Universal, MTV, NBC, and actually spent a summer in California working for Warner Brothers. And I got a great sense of what it was like to work for another company and certainly be part of a system, which ended up being a huge part of what I think makes me a successful, you'd have to interview some of my employees and team members to really get the straight answer. But what I think makes me a good manager, which is really being able to collaborate and to be able to work well with others and not tell people what to do, but coach them on great ways on how to accomplish the goals that they're setting out to achieve, even if they're smaller tasks throughout the day. So when I graduated, it was the world changed to some extent. 2007, Twitter exploded at South by Southwest. Facebook launched their first partner program where brands could buy ads. And YouTube also launched the ability to market to consumers on their platform. So essentially, in 2007, brands all of a sudden had an opportunity to have a two-way dialogue with their consumers for the first time really ever, right? And if you think about sort of the history of marketing from print, newspapers, to radio, to TV, to digital, social media really was an epic sort of kind of shift in consumer behavior and brand interaction. So I started my first job at a small video production company in 2007 that ended up being the company that was shooting a lot of videos for America Online. And of course, I don't know, Gordon, if you remember, did you have a screen name back in the day?
Did I have a screen name? Is that what you said?
Did you have a screen name? AOL chat screen name. Everyone was on AOL back
in
the day.
I think at that point I did, yes. At that point I think I did, yeah.
So AOL was really kind of the key player in the space, and everyone was focused on that as sort of the primary hub for online content. The company I was at was producing a lot of short-form videos for their sessions sort of section, which was all around music, and it was sort of a behind-the-scenes concert series. So before anybody knew what a webisode video was, the company that I was at was producing hundreds of them for, you know, one of the biggest online brands. And it was actually a sponsored series, sponsored at the time by Chevrolet. It was called the Chevy Backstage Pass. So what was really interesting was this company that I was at, Big Fuel was the name of it, was really uniquely positioned to help other brands create content for some of those other channels, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, et cetera. And lo and behold, the founder and CEO saw an opportunity to basically position himself and the company as a social media agency. And so it was sort of the right place at the right time where I ended up at this company that was at the crux of sort of media, marketing, entertainment, and technology. And so I spent my first 3 years in business working on the front lines of business development and brand development at Big Fuel, which ultimately went from 5 to, I believe, 150-plus people. And then in, I think, late 2011, the agency sold to Publicis, which was one of the big 6 holding companies. Yeah. So I left a little bit before the sale, but there's no question that the experience I had sort of working at another company, helping to see them grow, was hugely important in sort of the experience that I have now and everything that went into starting and founding Learned Media.
What kind of money did you need to start, Sam?
That's a great question also. So again, I mentioned that for the first year of our business, we actually weren't necessarily doing any brand marketing for clients. So we actually have a cool story. So real quick, when I left Big Fuel, I wanted to go work for one of the big, big creative agencies. So I spent a year at Ogilvy & Mather, which is a global creative firm, tens of thousands of employees, and got to work on some really cool brands. And so after a year at Ogilvy, I got that itch to launch a startup, right, back to my entrepreneurial roots. And I had this idea from back in college in Boston where there was no easy way to see what your friends were doing each and every night. You always had to text them and message them and Facebook them. And so I had an idea for an app. Essentially, it was a nightlife planning app where you could easily tell your friends if you were going to be going out, staying in, or open to suggestions. So I left Ogilvy and raised about 2 rounds of angel financing from some angel investors here in New York City. Tried to keep it as little family and friends as possible to keep things kosher at the Passover table,
sure,
so to speak.
Sure.
and took some outside money. It was about $300,000. Found a technical co-founder and basically built this mobile application. And what ended up happening was about 3-4 months into the life of the company, and this is 2011, we ended up seeing an ad in Ad Age, the sort of online or main publication for advertising in our space. It said, "Hey, startups, Budweiser wants your pitch." And it essentially was a call to action to startup companies from Budweiser looking to partner with a couple cool tech startups. And so I think it was something like 300 startups applied to be able to pitch at this conference.
Yeah.
And we were one of 6 that were chosen. The company was called Wender, W-E-N-D-R. It was a startup, as I mentioned, app around nightlife. Went on stage, presented how our app could partner with Budweiser, and gave a whole little sort of show around the app that could be Grab Some Buds, powered by Wender. You find friends to check in at a bar, and you go get the first bud on the house. Basically put on a show, put a little bit of my marketing expertise to use there, and they handed me an oversized Happy Gilmore check for $25,000as the winner of the contest. So really cool sort of beginnings of the company was getting this deal with Budweiser, where they essentially said, "Hey, we're going to guarantee a partnership with you." And so that $25,000 oversized check, while I couldn't actually cash that check, it did end up turning into a 6-figure relationship with the Budweiser marketing team. And from there, it became evident that the space that I was in relative to online planning became super crowded. There were a lot of startups trying to do a very similar thing. And as Pando Daily, who covered us in an article, sort of put it best, we decided to trade user acquisition for dollar acquisition. And I think with the security and comfort of having a paying client in Budweiser, we ended up deciding to kind of create Wender as a product and build the agency, Learned Media, as a full-service entity to be able to service not just Budweiser, but other clients and brands as well.
Got it.
So that's kind of the story of how we got to where we are today, and hopefully that gives some context to the business.
All right, so finish up with this in terms of hiring in today's atmosphere. We did a story on the show recently about the disconnect between how college grads feel they're prepared versus how hiring managers feel they're prepared. So say the current crop of graduates from the last couple of years, maybe they've come into your office for interviews, maybe you've hired them. How do you see them? Are they prepared? Are schools doing a good job with these guys or not?
I love that question because, believe it or not, a couple years back, I reached out to Northeastern, where I went to school, where I'm actually involved as one of their ambassadors in New York, and I actually made a recommendation that they should have a course specifically focused on getting college seniors prepared for the business world. And specifically, one of the curriculums or whatnot that I recommended was this idea of email etiquette. And I actually heard that podcast the other day when I was listening to some of your stuff, and I couldn't agree more with what the interviewee was saying around how a lot of these young recent grads that are coming out of school are lacking some of that, I guess, attention to detail and email etiquette and even collaboration skills. So I recommended that they teach, you know, graduating seniors basically the proper way to write and respond to inter-office and client communications via email. There's a lot of sort of nuance to it relative to pleasantries and sign-offs that a lot of kids today don't necessarily have instinctually coming out of school. I think that there's a lot of passion and a lot of sort of energy coming from the new workforce. The way that I sort of look to find great talent is in three things. And I typically say this in my first interview with prospective hires, and I leave it to them to kind of prove it over the course of the, you know, the dating period, so to speak, where we're interacting around schedules and whatnot. But it's really the three P's, and anybody who's worked for me actually knows this. So the first thing is professionalism. I need to make sure that people say they're going to be somewhere and they're there on time, that they dress the part, they look the part, and that they really know how to handle themselves in a workplace. The second P is passion, right? And if in today's world, there's, you know, there's so many careers that you can go into. It's so important that the people that we look to hire have passion, because it will make their work less like work. It will make it more like fun. And, you know, our best team members that we have, for example, you know, we've got a strategist and a coder here, both of whom go home and literally take online courses that are exactly what they do here in the office. Wow. Or helps them better their knowledge and become better at their jobs. Now, granted, they're a little bit younger. They don't necessarily have families to go home to, so they have the time. Yep. But just knowing that they're passionate about WordPress coding or data analytics, and that they go home and take an MIT class about it online, is super valuable to us as an employer, because we know that they're investing in themselves, which ultimately will translate into the clients.
Yeah.
And then the last P is positivity. So we're about 15 people located here. We're actually in a shared space in an office with a bunch of other companies. And so much of the corporate culture that we have is made up of the people. In fact, that's everything, right? So I like to make sure that the people that we're bringing on to our team just have an air of positivity to them, right? When we see them in the hallways, we want to rather see people that are chin up smiling than someone who's sort of negative and a Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
You know, those three P's are really kind of the things that I look for in not just millennials coming out of school, but really anybody that we're trying to hire.
How about that? All right, so I want to finish on this. On a somewhat related note now, if the right person came along, yet you didn't necessarily have an opening, would you find a way to get this person on board, or are you not in that kind of position?
Every single time. So I tell, I tell when I mentor and advise, you know, younger family friends or friends of friends or friends of siblings that are kind of coming up in the space, I tell them to write their own job description. I find that a little bit of the hiring process is broken. Instead of employers putting out sort of positions of what they need and then going out and trying to find the right people, I think it should be a little bit of the other way around. And I think that, that young grads would actually save themselves and employers a lot of time if they started with the job description that they wanted and then went out and tried to essentially filter all of the companies that they're looking at against that job description. It ends up being a more efficient process. And I actually just hired our new account associate with that process in mind. I actually met with her. She wasn't sure exactly what she wanted to do and the role she wanted to take within an agency. And I had her write her job description. And there's no question about it, knowing exactly what she wanted to do helped me put her in a position to be successful. And so, long story short, there's no question about it that the right person will always be able to make a role for themselves within our organization.
Thanks, Sam. Sam Zeises, he is the founder and CEO of Learned Media, a marketing agency based in New York City. Reminder, by the way, you can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. You can also find them on places like iTunes and SoundCloud. Also, if you'd like to share your thoughts or ideas about your small business, send me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.